Today's program has been brought to you by Cane Vineyard and Winery, a Napa Valley winery committed to respecting the soil and dedicated to the creation of three Cabernet blends. For more information, visit cane5.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Welcome to Let's Get Real, the cooking show about finding and preparing and eating food on Heritage Radio Network. I'm Erica Wides, your host. I am a tea drinker. Yep. In the morning, I get up and I drink myself a giant mug of good English black tea with a little bit of milk in it. A proper cuppa, as they say. Now, at times throughout my life, I've been more of a coffee person, and I've been a tea person, but tea is really my thing now, and probably forever. One at breakfast, one in the afternoon, just a plain old cup of tea with a PG Tips tea bag, from a PG Tips tea bag. Not iced lemon diet flavored Arizona tea in a can, and not raspberry cherry flavored diet Snapple tea in a bottle. Tea from a tea bag. I'm a simple girl. I like the clean taste of tea. It tastes like tea, the way tea is supposed to taste. Somewhat tannic, bitter, a little bit floral, maybe an adult kind of taste, like wine. Tea and wine have a lot of similar flavors, kind of similar flavor profile, not sweetened or flavored in any way, just tea, flavored like tea, because it is tea. And it was the same way back when I drank coffee. I just wanted coffee. Maybe with a little sugar and some milk, but I wanted my coffee's dominant flavor to be coffee. Now, for my under 30 listeners, coffee is not a flavor, as in coffee flavored cookies or coffee flavored donuts or coffee flavored frozen yogurt. Coffee is a bean that tastes like itself. Drinking coffee proved that I was heading into adulthood and learning to like bitter, complex, non-infantile-like flavors. That's why adults drink coffee and kids don't, or didn't, at least. We never drank coffee in my house. It was for the adults. They drank it at breakfast or they drank it after dinner in small cups with saucers. I actually had no idea about the big takeout coffee cup until I was in like junior high, and my biology teacher, Mr. McCormick, used to come in the morning with a giant styrofoam 7-Eleven cup every day. And I remember thinking to myself, why isn't he drinking his coffee at home like my parents do? Does he not know how to make coffee or something? Where's his wife? Why is he spending his hard-earned teacher's salary on 7-Eleven coffee when he could just make it at home? I had also, at that point, never yet seen a car equipped with cup holders, because they weren't really big then. You didn't really see them. They weren't really standard in cars yet. But Mr. McCormick drove a pickup truck, and pickup trucks had cup holders early on. I guess they were at the forefront. It seemed almost decadent to me, in a way, to have a cup holder in your car. Now, this was in 1982, believe it or not. This was three decades before cup holders for every seat, and one for just your gum, and a special one just for your phone, and a DVD player behind every front seat came standard with every SUV. I don't know. What can I say? It was a simpler time. Now, learning to eat and drink things with complex, not sweet, challenging flavors was a way to ease yourself into adulthood. Do you remember when you tasted red wine for the first time, or scotch, or bitter vegetables like endive or radicchio? Or do you remember the first time you watched 60 Minutes? Did you like any of that stuff right away? Probably not, because those kinds of tastes aren't immediately likable. Breast milk is sweet for a reason. It's to keep us from starving to death in infancy so we don't reject it. But eventually, we hope, we get weaned off of breast milk or formula. And we learn to like food that isn't sweet or isn't supposed to be sweet. It's like listening to Tom Waits. It can take a long time to get used to that jarring sensation, but then you get used to it and you realize that you've grown up, whether you like him or not. So as you know, I am convinced that America is in a state of suspended toddlerhood due to our overly sweetened, candified diet. Well, that and the fact that Taylor Swift was recently quoted as saying, "I don't drink much alcohol. If it doesn't taste like candy or sparkles, I usually don't drink it." Sparkles. And you wonder how we all wound up waddling around like overfed toddlers with our giant sippy cups of sweetened flavored beverages all day because we haven't evolved beyond our oral fixation stage yet. Hello, Dr. Freud. And our coffee has certainly fallen victim to the candification flavorization mania that has swept over all of our food products. Now, I've discussed this before on plenty of episodes, like in my episode on alcohol called Vodka Doesn't Taste Like Cupcakes, and in other episodes such as If It's as Sweet as Candy, It Is, or in You Can't Have Your Cheesecake Flavored Yogurt and Eat It Too. I come back to this theme very often. So we can't just have food X now. It has to be other food Z flavored food X. It's like what I talked about last week when I did a show on frozen food. You can buy frozen food and still be the right kind of people. When I discussed the strawberry toaster strudel flavored frozen flavored waffle, or even something as simple and pure and ancient and real food as hummus. Now, hummus has been eaten in the Middle East for like a trillion years, and just in its normal flavor, which is hummus flavor. Like with a coffee bean, hummus tastes like hummus. You don't have to add any flavor to it. Hummus should taste like chickpeas, garlic, tahini, olive oil, and lemon. Maybe salt. That's how you make it. That's all it is. That's hummus flavor because that's what hummus is. See, this is another perfect example of how far we are down the foodiness rabbit hole, because not only do I have to spend time on this show defining what food is, I have to try to educate the public on what flavor is or what something actually tastes like. But if all you know is flavoring, you have no concept that real food is already flavored. It's pre-flavored. It already has a flavor. So hummus tastes like hummus, not hummus flavoring. Now, though, hummus has become a vehicle for other flavors. And I read an article recently about the explosion in hummus consumption in the U.S., which, by the way, I think is great because hummus is food, not foodiness, and it's a very good food. And if flavoring it is the way to get people to eat it, then fine and dandy. But that people don't actually realize that hummus is hummus flavored. It's a thing, an unflavored thing, like salmon. It's like if we started making salmon in different flavors, which actually I'm sure is in the work somewhere, or if water came in flavor. Oh, wait, actually that already does. They think hummus has to be chipotle flavored or sun-dried tomato flavored or olive flavored or ranch flavored or dingleberry flavored. It can't just be hummus. That's like something's missing. Everything is flavored. Nothing is sacred anymore, especially not coffee. Good God, when did coffee become so candificated and infantilized? So let's get real here and talk briefly about what real coffee is. Coffee comes from a coffee bean, or more precisely, the coffee cherry. It's a fruit. It grows on a bush in places near the equator, something like only within 100 miles of the equator. I'm not sure if that number's right, but it's a fruit, and the seed of that fruit is the coffee bean. You can also eat the fruit. It's called the coffee cherry. It doesn't have much flavor, but it's pretty good. That seed gets harvested. The fruit is removed from it. It gets roasted. It gets ground. Then you pour almost boiling water over it, and that's how you make coffee. That's what coffee is. But of course, foodiness can't leave food alone, so it had to start flavoring coffee so we would forget what coffee tastes like. Now, I remember the first flavored coffees to come along. The first one, I think, was hazelnut. It tasted chemically to me. I never liked it. I grew up eating hazelnuts. It didn't taste like hazelnut. Because I think I learned to like coffee after I went to Europe for the first time. which is the way I learned to like beer, by drinking it in Belgium for the first time. And when I went to Europe for the first time in high school, I tasted really good coffee. Flavored coffee simultaneously started to become a big thing right around the same time in the 80s. Now, my roommate in college, Tracy, she liked her hazelnut coffee. And she was also really big on Victoriana, you know, like tchotchkes from the Victorian era. And she collected Victoriana with a furor. And she crammed it into our tiny East Village apartment with mad abandon. And then she also used to like to get really high and then clean all her Victorian junk while listening to Harry Nilsson albums. You can Google Harry Nilsson. Those were some good times back then. And then the hazelnut coffee just opened the floodgates. And now it's the same thing with coffee. It can't be just coffee-flavored coffee. Coffee has become merely the neutral base for a whole array of chemically derived added flavorings, same as hummus or water or vodka or yogurt or waffles or tea or chips or cereal, which is already flavored, or peanut butter, all which have succumbed to the flavoring many-headed hydra. Or if the coffee itself isn't flavored, the coffee bar would have a whole array of flavored syrups in beautiful colors with a rainbow of flavors. This was more in the 90s. And they would add a pump of raspberry chocolate or almond vanilla or a coconut cream or whatever other mixologist fantasy combination you could dream of to add to your coffee. Now, before Chelsea in Manhattan sunk into corporate chain store hell on earth, I lived there, and there was a great cafe in Chelsea called Big Cup, which I used as my living room, basically, for a while when I lived in a freezing cold, teeny tiny studio on West 24th Street, way before West Chelsea became what it is now. And they served good coffee and good tea in big cups and had nice, comfortable couches and lots of magazines, and there were lots of very beautiful gay men to look at. And most importantly, there was a payphone from which I could check my messages because I was freelancing at the time. Yes, it was before cell phones, and you would have to call your home answering machine and pick up your messages from a payphone. Now, Big Cup had that array of bottles of syrup, and I remember looking at them because the colors were so pretty and the choices were so wide. And I remember not being able to decide which flavor to try because I'm not good with wide array of choices. I only need a few choices. So I probably chose to drink tea instead. Now, Chris says that he, when he also lived in the neighborhood, still does, would order his chocolate raspberry flavored coffee. He would get it on the way out to go, on the way to go fact checking at Entertainment Weekly or Us Weekly magazine, print magazines where he used to work. He said he also needs to mention that he also did K in their bathroom once and slept with a guy who worked there, but that's another story. The point is that now it's a nail salon. And as Chris likes to point out, nobody is making memories at nail salons. 20 years from now, nobody will be doing a show here talking about the nail salon on 8th Avenue. Anyway, let's jump back to the present. I desperately needed an iced coffee last week during the freak heat wave that we had here in New York, and I was a little bit short on cash. Now, I do drink iced coffee on hot summer afternoons, even though I am a tea person. So I went into a deli instead of going into someplace like a Starbucks, because I wanted to spend $1, not $4. Now, for any new New Yorkers tuning in, delis are what we used to have before we had 7-Elevens. Now, this deli had a self-serve counter with an array of choices for self-serving yourself your iced coffee. And I do really enjoy the self-serve option because then I can put in as little ice as I want in the cup. Since I'm thrifty and I don't want to be paying a lot of money for a lot of ice in my iced coffee, I want coffee in my iced coffee. So I get my cup and I put in my 4 ice cubes. And then I noticed that all the iced coffee choices were flavored. There was hazelnut and vanilla and mocha. There was no coffee. No plain coffee. No coffee-flavored coffee. And you can't have, apparently, coffee-flavored coffee anymore. You have no choice. Pick a flavor or leave. So I left. And so I hereby must announce that we have tipped. We're there. Flavored coffee is the norm. Another foodiness tipping point has been reached. The only thing they haven't done yet is genetically engineer the flavor into the beans while they're on the bush so they grow up tasting like hazelnuts or cupcakes. But give them time. So now you can get your flavored and finalized candificated coffee and then add a shot of candy-flavored syrup to it, too. Double your flavor, double your pant size. But if that's not enough in finalizing and candifying, you can also now add flavored creamer to it. No, not creamer, whitener. You can't call it creamer. And here's why. So in my hours of internet trolling that I justify by calling research, I came upon a piece last week about the new line of flavors about to be launched by Coffee Mate. Now, before we even get to that, let's just discuss Coffee Mate for a sec and see what it is. Coffee Mate, I'm sure you're familiar with it, is or was originally a powder. Originally, it was a powdered dairy product designed to be used during dairy shortages during World War II or when people didn't have refrigeration. Powdered dairy product. Then they realized that the powdered dairy product didn't dissolve that well, so they created the powdered non-dairy creamer. So it's a powdered non-dairy creamer made basically from petroleum derivatives designed to add a cream-like effect to your coffee. We all know it. It's ubiquitous. The jar of white powder by the pot of bad coffee cooking away on a burner at the car dealership or in the faculty office. It was designed to eliminate the need for refrigeration of milk or cream at a coffee station in an office or a store. It's called creamer here in the U.S., but in almost every other country, it has to be called coffee whitener because there's no cream in it, actually. Technically, there's no food in it whatsoever. There are no food ingredients in it. It's not food. It's a white chemical powder like Coke, but not as fun or expensive. Now, somewhere along the way, the powder also turned into a liquid, and liquid coffee whiteners came along too. Now, they're not food either. It's still so remarkable to me that so many people are completely willing to just pour this liquid chemical brew or spoon this dust into their cups multiple times a day. Just dump it right in there, no questions asked, not thinking about what they're doing. The thinking must be something like, well, the container says it's for my coffee. In fact, it says that it's my coffee's mate, so it's meant to be, right? I mean, who am I to keep my coffee from its mate? Well, I would rather have my coffee remain single, thank you very much. I'd choose the most industrially produced, hormonal, drug-addled cow's milk in my coffee over that shit any day, or I'd drink it black, which is what real adults do. We're going to take a very short break. When we come back, more about coffee and whiteners. We'll be right back.
This song is called Carolina Peach by the California Honey Drops on the HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
I've been living in California.
This is Chris Howell from Cane Vineyard and Winery, calling in from Spring Mountain above the Napa Valley. Thank you for listening to this show. In our industrial world of highly processed food and wine, we support the values of Heritage Radio Network. All of us at Cane encourage you to seek out individuality and beauty in everything you eat and drink. To learn more about us, go to cane5.com.
I really taste the same. I'm talking about a sweet, 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 sweet.
Welcome back to Let's Get Real, the cooking show about finding, preparing, and eating food on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. I'm Erica Weitz, your host. Anyway, so in my research this week, I came upon an announcement that Coffee Mate, is launching a new line of flavors. Yes, we've all known forever that plain old white flavor whitener isn't enough anymore, and that the whiteners are now available in a long list of flavors. This is not new. We know about the flavors. There are almost 30 different Coffee Mate flavors, for that matter. And they come in powdered form and liquid form, and they don't contain any actual food ingredients and are basically the chemical equivalent of mixing powdered laundry detergent and paint pigments into your coffee. But hey, if actually buying, refrigerating, and pouring milk or cream are too challenging for your weak, sippy cup clutching paws, then go for it. If you enjoy corn syrup solids and powdered hydrogenated vegetable oils and silicates and titanium dioxide and artificial flavoring and chemical fragrances in your cup of joe, who am I to judge? I mean, I drink tea, for God's sakes. And you can't trust tea drinkers either. I mean, look at China. So Coffee Mate this week introduced their all-new line of flavors to add to their existing line of delicious gourmet flavors like the classic Amaretto, or Belgian Chocolate Toffee, or Cafe Mocha, or Caramel Macchiato, or Hazelnut, of course, or Cinnamon Vanilla Creme, Coconut Creme, Irish Creme, Italian Sweet Creme, whatever that means, Creamy Chocolate, Creme Brulee, French Vanilla, Original, the Coke Classic of Coffee Mate, Peppermint Mocha, Sweetened Original, that would be the new Coke of Coffee Mate, Vanilla Caramel, Vanilla Latte, Vanilla Nut, White Chocolate, Caramel Latte, and so many more. And then there are the holiday flavors, which I didn't even get into. Now, WTF is up with the latte and the macchiato flavors. Latte just means milk in Italian. And macchiato means stained, as in an espresso stained with a dab of steamed milk. So this artificially flavored non-dairy product is making milk-flavored fake milk to simulate milk-based drinks. And what does the Irish creme taste like? Alcoholism and freckles? It's like the new remake of The Great Gatsby, which is, according to Chris, my co-producer, who was forced to actually see it this weekend in 3D, no less, says is like a video game version of The Great Gatsby. It's like Gatsby artificial flavoring. The point is that in the film, which does still take place in the 1920s, they don't listen to jazz. They listen to gangster rap in the 1920s. So kids today will see this film and think that people were listening to gangster rap 100 years ago, thereby wiping out the fact that jazz ever existed. This is Orwellian newspeak at its finest. So you don't have a choice but to listen to the computerized, manufactured, totally artificial or alternative. Coffee Mate flavored like vanilla caramel flavored cream is like the gangster rap soundtrack in the new Gatsby, i.e. jazz is to gangster rap as half and half is to creme brulee flavored Coffee Mate. Get it? If you don't blame Chris, that was his anecdote. And now, the moment you've been waiting for, the Foodiness Award of the Week, the Golden Uncrustable, this week goes to the newest line of non-dairy coffee whitening chemical slurry. The new flavor line launching this week from Coffee Mate is Girl Scout Cookie Flavored Coffee Mate. Yes, those brilliant flavorists and chemical engineers at Nestle have done it again. Taken an already flavored manufactured product, the Girl Scout Cookie, reduced it down to a chemical flavor profile derivative, and added it into another chemical flavor derivative delivery system. Brilliant! The Girl Scout cookie itself is an artificially flavored chemical avatar of something which was once simply a handmade, naturally flavored baked good. I mean, what are cookies? Flour, butter, sugar, eggs, maybe some vanilla or nuts or chocolate added for variety. But a Girl Scout hasn't baked a cookie for sale in probably 60 years. Now they're scaled up from mega manufacturing into the artificially flavored, trans fat filled, guilt powered money makers that they are today. And make money they do. I mean, who can say no to a cute little Girl Scout? Or more likely to her mom or her dad who are shilling them at the office for her. I was a Girl Scout, for Christ's sakes, and I sold those goddamn cookies. And so those once humble homemade cookies with their innocent little toasted almond bits or coconut shreds or precious droplets of real vanilla extract or peppermint oil or pure cocoa that were made by hand have been put through the Foodiness factory and turned into their manufactured modern doppelgangers, which in turn are then reduced down to their chemical flavor profile and added to a synthetic manufactured derivative of a dairy product. We've gone down the rabbit hole, straight through the bottom, back out the other side of the earth, and are now hurtling into space. In space, nobody can see you use Coffee Mate. I bet they sent Coffee Mate up with the astronauts along with the Tang. Now, heads up, look out for the new Girl Scout flavored coffee and Girl Scout flavored cookies made from real Girl Scouts from Let's Get Real launching this fall. It's part of Let's Get Real's new Soylent Green collection. So let's say that you think that eating cookies made of Girl Scouts is bad. Well, consider this. Did you know that Coffee Mate has another use? an off-brand use, we'll call it, or off-label use. No, not to cut cocaine with to sell it for more profit, although that works too. Coffee Mate is used in filmmaking special effects to create explosions because it's cheaper than actual pyrotechnics materials for whatever chemical reason it ignites in midair, but not on the ground. So if you put Coffee Mate in a pressurized tube or pump, then blast it into the air and ignite it, you get a very nice mid-air explosion. It's good to know. See how much you can learn from listening to this show? And at least a Girl Scout flavored cookie is actually made out of food. And as if we couldn't go any lower or things couldn't get any weirder, here's another tasty tidbit of foodiness that my research staff, me, unearthed this week. Coffee Mate now makes a line of products called Coffee Mate Natural Bliss in flavors like low-fat chocolate, sweet cream, and vanilla. Now what's in them? Cream. Yeah. Cream, low-fat milk, and sugar, plus artificial flavoring in the chocolate and vanilla versions. So, wait a second. This is a product whose very existence, whose reason to be, is to replace a dairy product. They built a billion-dollar empire on non-dairy coffee whitening products, and now they introduce a line of milk, sweetened milk, like what you get if you put milk and sugar in your coffee, but all in one bottle. I'm not sure what the point even is of this product. Why not buy milk or cream? This one confuses me too much. I think I need to go have a big cup of tea and figure this one out. The tea I drink just tastes like tea. And that's all I want. Tea-flavored tea. Like so many colors on the spectrum of our wide and varied American way of eating, coffee has refracted out in that same rainbowy way for people who don't care about chemical consumption and are driven by their infantilized, candified palates. We have the flavored coffee, flavored creamer crowd. For the more old-school traditional American cup of joe crowd, the corner coffee cart slash deli coffee drinkers, both of which are definitely an endangered species, as you can't foursquare that you're at the corner coffee cart and you don't get rewards points at your local deli. The teenagers and the morbidly obese, of course, have the Starbucks and Dunkin' Donuts dessert-style coffees disguised, or dessert disguised as coffee-style drinks. Think frappuccinos and caramel lattes. And then the hipster, urbanite, single-bean, pour-over, cold-brew, artisan, Berkeley, Brooklyn, Portland types with the suspenders and the waxed mustache crowd have their blue bottle, single origin, single bean, single brew. You know who you are. The fetishists. It's okay with me. If you guys want to pay $6 for a cup of coffee, be my guest. I mean, I pay more than that for a good pint of beer, so maybe a good cup of coffee should cost that, I guess. It's like everything in America. We either want it as big and cheap as possible, or artisanal and handmade and crafted and really small. And then we pay. Like I always say, what kind of person do you want to be? Do you want to be the kind of iced Dunkin' Donuts mocha caramel swirl drinking person? Do you want to be the kind of person whose coffee has to taste like Girl Scout cookies? Do you want to be the kind of person who will only drink coffee if it tastes like sparkles? Of course not. Chances are flavoring has entered into your coffee. So how do you start to get real again about coffee? How do you get used to coffee that tastes like coffee again and not like pumpkin pie flavored or maple bacon flavored or like peppermint mocha Christmas cookie flavored? I found a website that sells flavored coffee beans. They have 150 different flavors. Now, you can start by just making your own flavored coffee at home. You can add some organic milk or half and half and a little sugar, a little raw sugar if you must. But being able to drink it black should be your eventual goal, just as a test of adulthood. Then you can keep putting the milk in it or the cream or the half and half. It's okay. You just want to pass that test first. You want to prove to yourself you can drink it black. It's coffee boot camp. If you must order out and you live here in New York, try going to the deli or one of those corner cart guys and just ordering old school New York style coffee. When you only had a couple of options, regular, black, light, sweet, not half-calf, mochaccino, wet, dry, low foam, high foam, soy, latte, mocha, almond milk. Like I pointed out in the yogurt show, where I suggested that instead of eating a red velvet cake flavored yogurt, at the office, just start eating the actual red velvet cake so that you'd know that you were actually eating. If you have to have pumpkin pie flavored coffee during your team meetings at the Condé Nast building, start eating actual pumpkin pie so you aren't fooling yourself. Or maybe you shouldn't be drinking coffee all day. Maybe you shouldn't be drinking 1,000 milligrams of caffeine a day. Then you wouldn't need the Xanax to calm your nerves and the Ambien to get to sleep, which means you wouldn't be so groggy in the morning, which means you wouldn't need your 80-ounce Dunkin' Donuts iced mocha strawberry swirl coffee first thing when you wake up. So if you want to eat food and drink coffee like an adult and not sip on 10,000-calorie coffee-flavored, like artificially flavored Girl Scout cookies every day, and you want to be the right kind of people, you really should get up in the morning, pour yourself a big cup, and keep tuning in to Let's Get Real, the cooking show about finding, preparing, and eating food. That's all the time we have for tonight. Thanks to Joe in the control room. Thanks to Chris Nutter, my co-producer. And thanks to Ben Kaplan for the great theme music. I always forget to mention you. We will be back next week with an all-new show about, guess what? Tea, because it's National Iced Tea Month. Thanks for listening. Find us on Facebook. Follow me on Twitter at Let's Get Real Show, and we will see you next week. Now go to bed.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.